baby at? Brandy, got the baby? Stand up and show the baby there. Somebody asked about, want to see that baby. Amen. Little girl, first time to church this morning. Amen. My goodness, don't get sickening. I was somewhere preaching the other night. Where was I? I was in New York preaching. And I got talking about something. I got talking about, I forgot what it was, a frog or something getting mashed and kicking. And these girls, these teenage girls just start going, oh. I thought, Lord, have mercy, man. You start feeling sorry for frogs. That's the day we're living in, ain't it? People have pity on a frog and then believe in abortion. That's something else, ain't it? It don't hurt frogs to cut them up. They ain't got no feelings. No, it don't. The Lord takes care of that kind of stuff. Just give you something to think about there. Amen. I don't think you ought to be cruel to animals, but, you know, God takes care of that. All right, Philippians chapter 1. I was thinking of our church this morning, and what I'm going to do is bring you a message here on our anniversary service, tell you a little bit about our church and also what the purpose of it is and why it's here. You don't do this very often. The Lord is the reason for the church. The church is the Lord's body. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there'd be no church. There wouldn't be nothing to be a part of. I'm very thrilled this morning to be a part of the church. It's been the church. It's been good to me. Like Brother Harry said the other night, down through the years, it was the church that took you in when you was a sinner. Buddy, it was the church. And had mercy on you. And not point a finger at you. Our philosophy is, brother, if the Lord's forgive you, then it's none of my business. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you don't find another group of people like that in this world outside of God's church. Thank God for the church. Thank God for what He's done for us. Thank God for His many blessings. I couldn't even begin. It just comes up in me like a volcano when I start thinking. I said, what? 17 of a pastor is 18 months. 18 months. And what that means is it takes about 18 months for him to figure them people out. And about the time he starts preaching all our sins, they're ready to get rid of him and get them another. Ain't that right? And our philosophy is, I shall not be moved. Amen? Unless God moves us. And I don't believe you can ever, I don't think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. I have a lot of people say, well, I'm going to go over there to church. You got the same problem over there as you got here. You know what that is? Human beings. People are problems. Anywhere you got people, you got problems. We've got problems here in our church. And I'm not going to air out our dirty laundry. There's no use in that. But I tell you something, brother, we've got greater than problems. We've got blessings. Amen. We've got God. We've got His power. Amen. And His blessings on our church. So I'd like to just read you this verse from me to you this morning, like Paul was reading it here to the Philippian church. He went around and started different churches in different places, and God used him to start a lot of churches. A great man that he was. And he told these Philippians here, verse 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Boy, that's the way I feel about our church this morning. When I'm off preaching somewhere, I enjoy the services, but I can't hardly stand it being away from here. I can't hardly stand it. It's awful. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I was in Montana and stuck the youth choir tape in. Boy, it just warmed my heart. You know why? He said in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. You see that phrase there that Paul used, "you all"? That means he was a southerner. Don't get smart with us. That's what's in the Bible. So I thank God for you all. And then that turned into Ewans, and Ewans turned into Yuns. And that's where Yuns come from, right out of the Bible. That's right. Just a short term, abbreviation. Verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel, that's been our means of fellowship. You know, there's people in our church that disagree on about everything except for the gospel. Our fellowship this morning's in the gospel. Our fellowship is not whether your hair touches your ear or not. That's not our basis of fellowship. Our basis of fellowship is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's where our fellowship starts. It's not. Somebody said one time they heard about this church that you couldn't be a member of it if you owned or rode a motorcycle. And they said that made you a hippie, and if you rode a motorcycle, you couldn't be a member of that church. I heard about that, no kidding. Well, that's not our basis of fellowship. Amen? I don't really care a whole lot about riding motorcycles. I'll ride one. If you want to let me ride it, I'll ride it. But the thing about motorcycles is, if you ride one long enough, they'll ride you. One of these days, they'll get you down and ride you. That ain't fun at all. They're all right in the dirt and jumping them, you know, in the woods and stuff, but not out on the highway. Not out on the highway. Man, you asking for big trouble. But anyway, he said here in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul told that church there, he said, I believe God started this church, and I believe he'll take care of it till the day of Jesus Christ. I believe that about New Manna Baptist Church. Somebody said one time, Brother Danny, what would happen to church if something happened to you? It's not my church. It's God's church. He started it. He's keeping it. He'll continue it on. I guarantee it. Now, I'd want to think I wish he wouldn't, but he would. He would. He would. It ain't me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. We like to think, boy, we had a part in that. No, we're just vessels that God will use if we let Him. We're letting. It's God's church. He began the work. He started it. He'll finish it. Verse 7. Here's my verse to you this morning. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. I'll stop reading right there this morning. Verse 7 is really what I want to tell you this morning, where he said, I have you in my heart. This church is in my heart this morning. It takes God to give you a pastor's heart. I'll never forget when I first started preaching, I never dreamed or planned of being a pastor. I never thought about that. I thought I wanted to be an evangelist. I want to travel around and just preach and go places and preach and see people get saved and go out on the street and witness to young people and see them getting an eye. We did that for a long time, for a few years. And I never thought about being a pastor. I thought two things. I thought, one, there's a greater need out there. And number two, McDowell County's got enough churches in it anyway. And at that time, I remember something that happened to me. I'd get to where I'd go preach somewhere and there'd be some people get saved. And they'd just look at me like little birds looking at their mama out of a nest, you know, with their mouth open like this. And I was just throwing something, they'd catch it, and I'm throwing something, they'd catch it. And I got to where I thought, man, I hate to leave these people. You kind of get attached to them. And then I began to think, and I thought, maybe God's wanting me to have a little group that I can preach to and feed and give them what God gives me. And It's just like a little seed started in my heart. Well, I didn't say nothing about it to nobody. I prayed and I talked to the Lord about it, and I'd read the Bible. And I got to where it bothered me more and more and more. And even riding up and down the street out here, I got to where Brother Danny's talking about my van. We used to have a van that we used to street preaching all the time, and had "Jesus is coming soon" on the back of it. Big letters this big, and a platform on top of it. And we'd use it for street preaching meetings. We'd go every Saturday, we'd go somewhere. Man, it'd be sometimes 8 or 10 preachers preach on top of my old van. And we had some great services. Seen people get saved, sing, play guitar, have a good time. But I got to where that me and these guys I run around with some 2 or 3 different churches, we got to where we'd meet and we'd pray and God would get real. And then we'd just meet together and pray and God would get real. We'd take turns preaching to each other. We'd all say, "All right, everybody's going to preach tonight. You preach 5 minutes, you preach 5 minutes." We all preach 5 minutes to each other, just preach to each other. And it got worse and worse and worse in my heart. Finally, it's like the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "You about ready to start something?" And the very thought of it would scare me and terrify me. And I remember driving up and down the street, one day, it's like a nudge hit my chest and said, "Right up there it is, point that old building on the hill." At that time, I didn't know what it was used for, who owned it, or anything. But I remember one day it snowed, and I parked my van over there in the store, the bookstore parking lot, which was a gas station then. And there was snow on the ground. I didn't know if I could get up the hill over there. And plus, you know, I just parked over there, and I walked up Park Avenue, and I walked in there, and I just put my face up to the glass there in the old building up there and looked in. And I looked in, I could see through the first part in there to that wood floor. I don't understand it, but just like something was fluttering inside. And I could see people sitting in there. And I could see it. It was just like it was in my heart just burning. And I looked around, I thought, well, somebody might see me looking in this building and they'd maybe start a rumor or something that I'm doing this or doing that or trying to break in or something. I thought, I better get out of here. So I left. I didn't say nothing about it. But every time after that, I'd drive up and down the street, I'd look up there at that building. Every time. I didn't say nothing to nobody. Even my close friend, I didn't say a word because I thought if I did, now they're going to influence me. They're going to say, "Yeah, it's a good idea." Or they're going to say, "No, I don't believe I'd do that." And that would have an influence on me. And I've always been that way. I usually always have my mind made up before I say anything to anybody because I don't want to have to... Everybody, you know, pushing me one way or the other. Now, sometimes I'll ask for advice, but on big decisions, I usually got my mind made up before I even say anything. And I did that, and it got worse, worse, and worse. Finally, we got together up there at the log cabin one night, and I said, "All right, fellas, this is what the Lord laid on my heart." How many of you were up there at the cabin that night? Or would you stand if you were there with us that night? Brother Lewis and Brother George. I know there were 7 of us. Brother Danny. Okay. All right, y'all can be seated. Y'all were in the first service, right? I met them that morning. Man, yous are getting old, you know it? Yous look bad, I tell you. I'm just kidding. Did you know something? I went there that Monday night. And I said, "Boys, the Lord wants me to start a church." Boy, when I said that, it's just like something broke loose in my soul. It wasn't a split. It wasn't a spite, church. It wasn't us going down here and showing them that God's with us. Not them. It wasn't none of that kind of stuff. It's just something I could not get away from. I've always believed if a church start right, it can go right. The reason a lot of churches never go right, they don't start right to begin with. The wrong reason, the wrong motive. Man, I tell you what, they said, "Let's do it. Let's go with it." We got that night, and I got them in the van. We rode up here, and I said, "Right there it is." And I said, "I believe that thing can hold 500 people one of these days." They say, "500 people? What are you talking about?" And I said, "It might get to 500. It might. One day, we might have 500 people." And they said, "Now, Brother Danny, you know, in a town this size and everything, that's just unheard of." And I remember on our first Sunday morning, we had 23 babies. Everybody was there. We came back that Sunday night. We borrowed some chairs. talked to the man, rented this building up here, and we put chairs in up there and had our second Sunday morning service right up there. All I knew to do was just get this book down and read it and pray and then get up and say what God give me out of this book. That's all I knew to do. Because I had never been to Bible college. And I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying I had been on the Lord. And I said, God, I don't a bit more know what I'm doing than a man in the moon, but I do know I'm doing what you want me to do. First soul walked the aisle a couple of Sundays later. God began to move. God began to stir. And then one thing led to another. I ain't got time to tell you. Man, you talk about sometimes. We had some of the greatest times. I wish every one of you could have been there. We got the cops called on us up there. Out in the parking lot one night. Me and the gentleman, we was praying in the van. Oh, God! Oh, Lord! We was screaming and hollering. Here come the law pulling in there. Somebody thought it was a bunch of drunks. Some of the neighbors called the police. We was drunk all right, but we ain't been drinking no Jack Daniels or Sick Dog or Puking Buzzard. We was drunk on the new wine of the Holy Spirit, brother. I mean, we didn't know where we was at hardly. God blessed it. I mean, there's a lot of things we done that was absolutely crazy, but God took care of them. My soul, you should have been there. 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 You wouldn't believe the funny things that would happen. Bees come out of the rafters. We didn't have no ceiling there. Bees would always hatch out in them rafters. They'd come right on somebody's head. Big wasp. Right in a woman's hair. Right in the service, he'd start doing my kiss. All kinds of crazy things happen like that. It was good, man. Bees sting them, get them under conviction. Or something like that. It was like that guy. Little guy come in one day and a youth group was trying to raise some money for their youth group to do something. And some of the men in the church said, I tell you what, some of you young people will come over and do some work around our house. We'll pay you a little bit, and that way you can get some money for your youth trip or whatever you're going to do with it. So they was mowing grass, and they went over to this one fellow's house, kind of a rich man, really. And he had quite a bit of money, and he said, all right, now, fellas, he said, you take this. He said, I got 2 gallons of orange paint right here. You take it around back there and paint the porch, and when you get through painting the porch, come back and I'll pay you. A little while later, them boys come back, and he said, did you get done? And they said, yes, sir, we sure did. And he said, I'll pay you now. I appreciate you painting. And they said, oh, sir, we meant to tell you, that's not a Porsche. It was a Corvette. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Some of y'all are slow listeners, you know it? You're still asleep or something. I'm disappointed. You need to listen a little bit better. They painted his Corvette orange, man. And that's what we did a lot of times. We done some stupid things, but God somehow blessed them. You know why? Because our heart was right. Heart was right. And I found out many times, if a man's heart's right, he may make some mistakes along the way, but God takes care of him. You know the main thing in your Christian life? The main thing in your Christian life is to keep your fellowship right between you and the Lord. Staying right with God. Keeping your heart hot and warm and right with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you before about the time Brother Rat came in up there. Well, I call him Brother Rat now. He was a big rat about that long. We was up there and had them side doors open. We was working, had a big pile of trash here. And these men was up there. We was up there at night getting rid of that trash. All of a sudden, there's a rat about this long. And run right in the church. We said, oh, no. That stupid rat went in the church now. We went in there looking for it. He was nowhere to be found. I said, oh, man, that's a fine one. Here we got a big rat in the building. We don't know what to do. We don't know where he's at. I said, now, fellas, we'll just leave this door open all night. And he'll come out. When he looks around in there and finds out there ain't nothing in there he wants, he'll probably come out. And we was joking, laughing around. One of them said, wouldn't it be funny if he come out in the service? Wouldn't that be something? Yeah, ha, ha, ha. That was a big joke. We laughed, you know. Well, sure enough, you're not going to believe this. But on that Sunday morning, you know, we just had a little bit of carpet up here on the platform there, and that old platform up there. And then the nursery was right back in there where the ladies' restroom is now, upstairs. and they just had cookies there. Evidently, that thing had got back there in that nursery, and after them cookies in the carpet or whatever, and sure enough, right in the service, I was preaching that morning, and them kids must have scared old Brother Rat out of his hiding place. He come out of the nursery or wherever he come from back there, come right up the side aisle in the preaching service. No carpet up there. He come up through there, and boy, it was scaring people. He was coming down the aisle that morning, and he went right down there and went right up under the altar, right while I was preaching. Everybody was flipping their lid. I mean, people was looking. People was sniggering their shoulders just to bounce in this rock here. I mean, and women were getting scared. And I just thought, good night, they ain't no use of me. I thought, what's the use of me preaching, acting like I don't know what's going on? Because normally you just keep preaching, act like nothing happened. If you know, if everybody's wondering, well, I mean, who's going to come to the altar, you know? I mean, would you come to the altar and kneel down and close your eyes? Sit with a rat laying up under there? No. I got thinking about that, and I thought, why does it have to happen like that? But it always did. It always did. Some weird things happen. Weird things. We've always been attracted to some weird people. I don't know what you're doing here this morning, but you know what I believe? I believe people that are demon possessed are attracted to light. I believe people that's got demons are attracted to like that woman followed Paul and him around. They had something that attracted that woman. She thought, man, I don't know what it is about these guys. These men are the great power of God. We've always had some weirdos like that around here. Always. That's a good sign. That's a good sign you're in the right church. Because the devil knows it and he tries to tear it up. But I couldn't even begin to tell you the battles we've seen here. I couldn't tell you the nights that I went to sleep and prayed and not even knowing what to do. We got situations right now I don't know what to do. I tell you what I have learned. I have learned by the grace of God, if you'll just honor Him and put Him first in your life and do right, that God works it out according to His will, and that all things work together for them that love God for good, brother, for them that are called according to His purpose. Man, I always used to think one day we'll have a youth camp. I used to think I'd like to have a youth camp and see young people get saved and stuff like that. And to make a long story short, I ain't got time to tell you all these stories this morning. But I thought there'd probably be a lot of people here that wondered how our church got started. I was in the bank. Sister Brenda Hollifield told me this. I didn't know it. She was working in the bank. Is that right, Brenda? And she was working in the bank uptown. And she said that I'd done something. I don't know what I done. To this day, I don't know what I done. But she said, you done something in the bank. I don't know if I bowed my head and prayed, or I picked my nose, or was crying, or what I was doing. I really don't, to this day. But she said, when I done that, God spoke to her heart and said, you need to get down there and help that preacher. And they came down here, her and her husband, and she's in real estate business now, and higher ground realty, and she wasn't then at that time, it was another business, but she knew about real estate, and she come to me and she said, I know a place for a youth camp. She said, we won't go look at it. That was just a few months after we built this building here in 1986, and I said, well, I'll go look at it, but we're broke and we can't even hardly afford to pay for this new building. There's no way we could buy it. And I went and looked, and the same thing happened. Happened when I looked in that one up there. Here it went again, fluttering. I could see little boys and girls running around on them hills. I could see people getting saved. Here it started up again. Next thing I know, we was up here raising money for the youth camp. In 11 weeks, this group, not hardly about half as big as it is now, raised $110,000 cash. Cash, brother, and paid a down payment on that youth camp. Since then, we've seen about 100 souls saved every summer. The last few years, there's been, I don't know how many young people got their life straightened out at camp. Just another one of them things. That's the same thing about the school. I can see kids now going up down them hall, getting a blessing. Coming home and telling Mom and Daddy, I learned this about God today. You know what all that is? All that is God working in His church Brother, let me tell you, that's what God does. It hurts us when some fall by the wayside. A lot of times people say, well, Brother Danny, don't care about so-and-so. Care about, listen, it hurts me every time I hear about somebody quitting or messing up. Or messing up their life. But I can tell you this one thing for sure. God has blessed our church in an unusual way. The battles, I don't have time to go into the battles we fought. I can't tell you the pressure. This might help somebody this morning. I can't tell you the pressure that I felt sometimes just to leave town. Get out, especially years ago, the devil and everything he had jumped on me and says, why don't you just get out of here? It'd be better off without you in this town. Don't think I didn't think about it. But something inside my heart the whole time, God was saying, that ain't right. That ain't right. That ain't right. Right here's where you're supposed to be. Right here's where you need to be. And I learned a great lesson. You never run from your troubles. You stand and face it and honor God and do right. Face it like a man. Face it like a woman. And just let the chips fall where they will and serve God. I can truthfully tell you this morning, it's been worth every mile. It's been 18 years, man. I cannot believe it. I was just a kid. Just a kid. I didn't bit more know what I was doing than nothing. I was just a kid. I mean, I could still get in the movies for 25 cents back in, man, almost. Because, see, like when I was, I remember when I was 20, I mean, people, I was still like 13 or something, you know. I'd always been like a little, I didn't shave till I was way big. And still don't have to a lot. Thank God, amen. Thank God, I ain't complaining a bit. I couldn't grow a beard if I wanted to. I just got a little baby. Hey, but hallelujah, amen. I wouldn't want that old mess all over me. I'm nothing personal. I'm afraid Brother Rat might get in there. But did you know something? I didn't a bit more know what I was doing to man the moon. And still don't, a whole lot. Still, people say, what do you do about this? I have preachers call me. What do you do about this? I say, I don't know. Pray about it. Do what God tells you. It ain't in a book. Obey the Lord and let God lead you. And you know what the best thing you could ever do this morning? The best thing you could ever do, ever, is get in this church or another church. If you don't like this church, find you a good church and get in there and put your heart and soul into it and serve God and be a part of what God's doing. I like what Brother Harry said the other night. He said, the church is the only thing I ever joined. I believe in that. I believe church is the only thing you need to join. You don't need a club. You don't need a civic club. You don't need that stuff. There's more to do in your church than get done. I'm going to have the youth choir come now. And I'm going to sing a song and we're going to go. As our anniversary special this morning, they're going to sing for you. And I want these girls to come up here and sing. It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. For you that have been discouraged, and for you that get criticized by your family for coming here, and for you that get talked about and told you're crazy or go something like that, this is for you. It's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial, worth all the heartache, worth the problems. Amen. Let's get on down, girls. Amen. Amen. Come on, ladies, sing. Hallelujah. How many of you came in between 77 and 80? Would you raise your hand, please? Between 77 and 80. Look at that. Isn't that a blessing? There's a lot of people say, well, people come to our church for a little while and then quit. No, you're just letting the devil talk to you, man. Some of them do. These people been here since the late 70s. You're going to have some come in and fall out. It's always been that way. It's that way in the book of Acts. But I thank God for people that stick. How many came in between 80 and 85? Raise your hand. Isn't that a blessing? Look at that. How many came in between 85 and 90? Raise your hand. Look at that. Steady number. How many came in between 90 and 95? Amen. Raise your hand. What a blessing. Isn't that something? Thank God. It's been worth it all. Sing it, lady. God's speaking to your heart this morning, and you're real discouraged. As a Christian, you're real discouraged. Are you kidding? Man, I've had people call me and talk to me like a dog. Church people. You say, well, how do you handle that? You just remember you're here to serve God, not them. The Lord's my Savior, not them. It ain't got nothing to do with them. This is my Father's house. If you don't want to be around me, you guess who's going to move? It's going to be you. It ain't going to be me. This is my Father's house. I'm talking as a church member. This is my church. I belong to it. I'm a part of it. And I tell you, if you're here this morning and you've been discouraged, get on the altar. Rededicate that life. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You just don't know what you're missing. I like what Moses, his daddy-in-law and them, said back there in the Old Testament, said, come with us and we will do thee good. Amen? Get in on it. Get in on it. Don't fight it. Get in on it. If you need to come, want to come on this anniversary morning, just say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life, get back on fire for you, get where I need to be. Maybe just crowd around this altar this morning and pray for a loved one somebody used to be in here that's out. You just feel free to come. This is our invitation this morning while they sing. Go ahead, girls. While they sing, if you need to come, come on right now. Amen.
There be many times.
Amen. Come on, just get out of your seat. If you need to come, just kneel right here. Listen now.
Every time it seems
that's right.
The answer would never come.
That's the truth.
There have been times I've grown weary.
Come on, friend.
And forgotten the prayer I prayed.
But the Lord
did. But my Lord remembered and answered.
everybody sing it.
It's been worth every mile.
Is that right?
It's been worth every trial.
Hallelujah.
It's been worth every
yes.
valley that we cross.
It's been worth everything
that we face in history. It'll be worth it all if yeah. we sing His name.
One more time, everybody.
It's been worth
it. Come on, sing it with us. Sing it with us.
It's been worth every trial.
That's right.
It's been worth every valley that we cross.
Hallelujah. Thank God.
It's been worth everything.
Amen.
That we face in history. It'll be worth it all when we
Amen. Right there. There's so many things I'd like to tell you. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, sometimes you ever want to hear some stories. Well, we could tell you some stories. Lord have mercy. The things that's happened. The things that's, I mean, we prayed for it to quit raining. It quit raining. Honest. The Lord done some stuff. We prayed for people to be saved and things to happen, and it just, people say, You know this thing that's happened at East Junior High School lately, it's been on the news and in the newspaper and all that stuff. We've had several kids from East Junior High School want to come over here and be put in our school. And I knew it was coming. They told me, I said, you know who got the blame for that? You did, Brother Danny. And I was in New York when they had the school board meeting. And I've already been accused that I'd started that and caused all that problem just so we could build up our school. That's right. I knew that was coming, didn't you? Well, I tell you, what that sounds like to me is the Lord might have done that. I sure didn't. I didn't do nothing about it. I ain't got no kids in the public school. I didn't go over there. I didn't go to no meetings. I ain't been to nowhere. That's the Lord, brother. That's the Lord. You better watch your mouth. What you say about God's church. I tell you what, it's God. I don't say nothing against it. If I know something bad about it, I hush. It's God's church. His hands upon it. Amen. We're going to let you go right there. Don't forget choir practice at 6 o'clock. Brother Bruce has got to work. Got somebody else on? Oh, we got a baby shower. Okay. All right. This is a baby shower for Brandy Roper. If you want to put something in it, be sure and come up here after the service. Just hold here just a second, kids. And after this, we'll let you go. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Remember, today's Pastor Appreciation Day. We mentioned last week a little bit. And we've got Brother Danny a little something here we're going to give to him. Somebody stole his last year, and said something about he might buy some goats or something. So we got him a good weed eater here. And you kids, watch out. He'll get you with it. But anyway, we got him a good weed eater here. Got him some stuff to go with it there so he can keep that big house of his. The yard all fixed up and everything. So let him know you appreciate
Amen.
Him. Pastor Appreciation Day. Just let him know you appreciate him. I know that he appreciates us. Amen. Amen. Amen.